Well, if we haven't met before, I'm Pastor Sam, and I have the joy of working with our discipleship ministries here at Life Center Orleans, and I have the distinct pleasure to be able to lean into God's word with you this morning. We are going to be finishing up the book of Jonah together. And so if you have your Bible, you can flip to Jonah chapter 4, and that's primarily where we will be. But I want to begin by asking you a question. Have you ever missed it? Like, I'm just talking about if you've been in a conversation with somebody, they're telling you a story, you know they think it's funny, and they're telling you a joke, you get to the end of the story, they hit you with the punchline, and you have no idea what just happened. You have no idea how to respond. You missed it. You missed it. It happens to me more than I'd care to admit, to be honest with you. But there are moments of our lives where sometimes we just miss the bigger picture. You know, like some days are just absolutely beautiful outside. I'm running errands and going from here, one place to another. And I'll get to the end of the day, and what I'll remember will be all the little frustrations that happened along the way. You know, the annoyances that I had in traffic, or the long lines at the grocery store, or whatever it is. But what I don't remember is the beauty of the day. The beautiful sunshine and the warm breeze, the beautiful flowers. It's summertime here in Canada, thank you, Lord. And the heat is present. And so sometimes we can go about life and we can just miss it. And to me, that's what the book of Jonah is all about. Because you see, in the book of Jonah, God is at work in a powerful way. He is at work in a truly profound way. Today we're going to look at the fact that there's 120,000 people in Nineveh who have turned from their evil ways and have repented before the Lord. That is profound. Like, I can't imagine preaching a sermon like Jonah's and then having that be the result. Last week, Pastor Jason highlighted it so clearly. It was probably the worst sermon ever preached. 8 words, no beginning, no end, just a statement. Basically, repent or there will be consequences. And can you imagine that simple phrase? And God works in a powerful way. And yet in the midst of that, Jonah's response isn't gratitude, contentment, excitement, the things that perhaps I would hope to feel if 120,000 people gave their life to Jesus today here in Ottawa. But his response was anger. Now, as I read the book of Jonah, I can often look at it and think to myself, Jonah, why do you have to be so hard-headed? Jonah, why do you have to be so arrogant? Like, I mean, can you not see the bigger picture? Can you not see the beautiful thing that God is doing in the nation of Nineveh that you get to be a part of? Like, why are you doing this? And sometimes I can become frustrated with Jonah, but then I have to ask myself the question, Lord, is there any space in my life where I am like Jonah, where I am missing the bigger picture of the story that you are writing in the world around me? You see, sometimes I get frustrated and I miss what God is at work doing in the world around me. And so let's dive in. We're going to start in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Again, Jonah has preached his 8-word message, and the result is, much to Jonah's despair, is this. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. God saw their actions, the actions of the Ninevites, that they had turned from their evil ways. So he relented from the disaster he had threatened them with, and he did not do it. In other words, God showed grace. Jumping to chapter 4, verse 1, which is Jonah's response to God's decision to relent and not bring destruction on the nation of Nineveh. It says this, Jonah was greatly displeased and became furious. He prayed to the Lord, please, Lord, Isn't this what I said while I was still in my own country? That's why I fled towards Tarshish in the first place. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in faithful love, and one who relents from sending disaster. And now, Lord, take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. It is better for me to die than to live. See, Jonah was so full of anger and bitterness that he truly desired to die rather than see God extend mercy and grace to the nation of Nineveh. Have you ever found yourself in a similar position? Perhaps not in this magnitude, but in small things. Have you ever desired for God to be on your side in the middle of an issue or a conflict with others? If I'm being honest, there are moments when I've been in conflicts or I've witnessed an injustice, and my response, my prayer is really, Lord, would your will be done? That is what I say with my mouth, but what's going on in my heart is very different. What I would like to say a lot of the time is, Lord, would your will be done? And would your will be to bring correction and to bring judgment, to make them feel perhaps how I feel? Maybe I'm alone in this morning, but that's often what happens inside of my heart. It's not pretty. It's not beautiful. It is absolutely human. And that's really what we see with Jonah. He knows obedience is the way forward, yet every step of the way he's fighting God. And so he's trying his best to be obedient, and yet inside of his heart, there is utter turmoil. He is frustrated, he is angry, he is upset, he is annoyed that the fact that God is showing grace to the nation of Nineveh. You see, God does not always respond in the moments of conflict in a manner that we would like. Because oftentimes, instead of giving us the desires of our hearts, he invites us into a different place, aligning our hearts with his desires. You see, oftentimes when we can desire judgment, God desires to extend grace. And if we find ourselves in a position like Jonah, God often invites us into that space of being the vessel through which others can experience his grace. If we are unwilling to be obedient, then we miss out on partnering with God in this space. The invitation is always to align our hearts with God's will, whether we like it or not. But Jonah's desire is struggling. Jonah's in inner turmoil, knowing obedience is the way forward, and yet struggling to release a deep-rooted desire for justice. See, God knows all that is in Jonah's heart, and just like he knows all that is in our hearts. So in this space of inner turmoil, God presents Jonah with a powerful and very specific question for him to grapple with. God's response to Jonah in his complaint and his anger was not to say, oh, Jonah, don't worry about it. Eventually, I'll bring about judgment on them. His response to Jonah was to say the question, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? I don't know if you've ever been in a conflict with somebody and you both think that you're right, and then they say to you, why are you even angry? Why are you even upset? Why does this even bother you? What's your immediate response? At least my immediate response is whatever comes out, because whatever inside of me is coming out. Like, it just brings up all the things. And part of it is that's exactly what God is doing. He's trying to get to Jonah's heart. He's trying to get to the core of what's really going on. Jonah doesn't respond to God immediately. There's no recorded response right after that. But I would imagine it gave him a lot to think about and ponder and to reflect on. You see, this question at the end of the day gets to the heart of the matter, which is this. Does Jonah have the right to feel that God is being unjust? Implied in this question is a statement or a reality of who God is. You can find it in Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, or in Romans chapter 9, verse 15, but it says this, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. The bottom line is this. The only person that has the right to be angry and to cast judgment is indeed God. It is God. Jonah's anger at God is misplaced and reminds him that his ways are higher than our ways. God himself has the right to cast judgment and to show mercy. Compassion and grace are his to give or not give. And it is not for us to determine whether God's decisions are just or unjust. Get this, God's ways are just, but not always fair by our standards. God's ways are just, but not always fair by God's standards. In the New Testament, there is a parable that Jesus uses to illustrate this very reality. And it's about a landowner who invites workers to come and work in his field. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 1 and working our way through to verse 16. It says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the workers on one denarius, he sent them into the vineyard for the day. When he went out about 9 in the morning, he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He said to them, 'You also go into my vineyard, and I'll give you whatever is right.' So off they went. About noon and about 3, he went out again and did the same thing. Then about 5, he went and found others standing around and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' 'Because no one hired us,' they said to him. 'You also go into my vineyard,' he told them. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard told his foreman, 'Call the workers and give them their pay, starting with the last and ending with the first.' When those who were hired about 5 came, they each received 1 denarius. So when the first ones came, they assumed they would get more, but they also received a denarius each. When they received it, they began to complain to the landowner, 'These men put in 1 hour and you made them equal to us, who bore the burden of the day's work and burning heat.' He replied to one of them, 'Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me on a denarius? Take what's yours and go. I want to give this last man the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first last.'" Can we just take a moment and pray? Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you are just and that you are kind. And we thank you for the gift of your grace in our lives, that it is not always, your decisions aren't always how we would handle things. And yet in the midst of that, we know that you are good and that you are just and that you are kind. And so I pray that through your word, that you would speak to our hearts tonight or this morning of what it means to reflect your posture, loving justice, but also walking in grace and compassion in everything that we do. Would you lead us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There is so much that we could pull from this parable. So much that we could pull from this parable. But at the core, the message is this: God's ways don't always seem fair to us. But just because they don't seem fair to us, it does not mean that they are not just. God's justice is not the same as ours. God truly does see all, know all, and in the bigger picture of things, he will never simply let evil slide. But at the same time, he always provides a way for salvation through repentance. And how many of you are grateful for that? Amen. He always makes a space for repentance. You see, what's fascinating is in the story of Jonah, the nation of Nineveh receives God's grace and compassion, but so does Jonah. In fact, before he ever makes it to Nineveh, he experiences God's justice. He runs from God. God gives him a clear directive: go to the nation of Nineveh. And what does he do? He directly opposes what God has asked him to do. He goes the opposite direction, finds himself in a difficult space in the middle of the sea. There's a storm happening. Everyone on board is about to die. So what does he say? Throw me into the water so that everyone else will be saved. When you get tossed in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm, what do you expect to take place? Do you expect to survive? Probably not. You see, Jonah is in sin, and there is a judgment that is coming upon him of death. But what does God do? He provides a way for a big fish to come and swallow Jonah. In that space, there's an opportunity for Jonah to repent. Jonah engages that. He repents, and God extends grace and invites him back into this process of restoration that he is playing out in the nation of Nineveh. See, Jonah experienced the injustice of grace, and now he is furious for that same grace that is being extended to the nation of Nineveh. And so we continue in the story. Jonah chapter 4, verse 5. This is after Jonah's complaint to God and God's reply with a question. Jonah left the city and found a place east of it. He made himself a shelter there and sat in its shade to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord appointed a plant and grew over Jonah to provide shade for his head to rescue him from his trouble. Jonah was greatly pleased with the plant. When dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, and it withered. As the sun was rising, God appointed a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so much that he almost fainted, and he wanted to die. He said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Then Jonah asked, "Is it right?" Then God asked Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Almost the identical question that he had asked him before. And here is what is truly in Jonah's heart. He replies, "Yes, it is right." God asks, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Jonah replies, "Yes, it is right. I am angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You cared about the plant which you did not labor over and did not grow. It appeared in the night and perished in the night. So may I not care about the great city of Nineveh, which has more than 20,000 people who cannot distinguish between their right and their left, as well as many animals." See, the story ends with God giving Jonah a bit of his perspective, trying to get him to see what he is looking at. You see, Jonah deeply cared for this plant. He was incredibly upset when it was destroyed. So God uses this experience to show Jonah how much he cares about his creation. If Jonah cared so much about the plant and would have loved to prevent its destruction, how much more does God care about a nation of 120,000 people and desire for them to be spared from judgment? See, God cares about the people of Nineveh. And he makes this beautiful statement at the end. They are a people who cannot distinguish from their left from their right. Now, this is not an intellectual limitation. This is indeed a representation of the confusion and lostness of their soul. As a nation, they are lost. What is God's heart? That there would be repentance and salvation. He cares for them and sees them not as terrible people, but he sees them as his creation, whom are lost and broken. As we come to a close today, I want us to take a moment and just ask Holy Spirit, is there any space in my life where I am being like Jonah? Is there any space where my heart has become hard to somebody around me, whether a family member or coworker or peer at school? Is there even the slightest space where their destruction would bring me joy, where their pain and suffering would be a comfort to me? If the answer is yes, we need to bring this to Jesus. Truth be told, Jonah is the perfect example of not being able to handle it on your own. When there is significant pain and sorrow in our lives, we can't just bury it deep and hope that it doesn't come up. It always will. In those moments, when there is a hardness of heart, it is only through the Holy Spirit that we are able to release that to God, to receive healing in those spaces, and to then be able to act as a vessel of God's grace and compassion to the world around us. In doing so, we are able to release anger, bitterness, judgment, and step into the joy of partnering with Christ and ministering to a lost and broken world. And so, a couple of things to remember, and then we'll close. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to help us not get fixated on the desires of our hearts so that we lose the joy of what God is doing in the world around us. May we always allow God to allow our hearts with his, and may we resist the temptation to place our desire for justice as a higher priority than obedience. And lastly, may we always ask God to give us eyes to see the world around us with eyes of compassion, not casting judgment on those whom we come into contact with, but rather reflecting God's posture of radical grace to a world in need. Let's close in prayer. And so, Lord, you know every heart, you know every situation that each of us has experienced. You know the hurts and pains and the struggles that we have in our hearts sometimes to forgive. And so, Lord, I pray that that today that you would give us tender hearts, that you would give us a heart of compassion for the world around us, both the people that we like and the people that we struggle with. Would you give us a grace to love them, recognizing the state of their soul and having compassion towards them? Would you lead us and guide us each day? And may we choose to follow you no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.